I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
What are we if not slaves to this torment? We are the Forsaken. Is that smell?
Oh,
it's John.
It is.
Is it?
Sorry.
I like that you're owning it. Well, you're owning it. You're not letting somebody else take the credit for it. You're not pushing it onto somebody else. You're just owning it. And I like that. Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't say it was an unpleasant smell.
No, we just assume it is.
She was just very excitedly, what's that smell? It smells like breakfast.
Hash browns.
I thought maybe you'd reach for the Old Spice, but no, breakfast. I smell like breakfast.
So it's like syrup, like a syrupy kind of breakfast. Is that what we're having?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. Best info ever. It's best info we've ever done. I said info because
I had an info in my college days.
Oh, you did? Oh, all right. I don't like infomercials. Those are bad. I bit my lip earlier, and everything that I mean to say comes out wrong because I feel like I'm being wary of my lip. So I say I'm pronouncing words wrong, not because I'm being absent-minded. My lip is saying, oh, careful, don't say the P. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's like I have to skirt around my lip. It's really obnoxious. I hate it. Anyway, I don't know what I was eating a grape earlier, bit my lip like some kind of idiot. We're here. We're doing it. It's the Core Show. Welcome back, everybody. Heroes of the Storm coming at you right into your face. That's how we're doing it. And it's me, John, and Bo doing what we do. And one of the things we do is we make a show. Now, here's the deal. There's not a lot of news this week other than we got the new Battleground. That's great. We already sort of knew what was going on with Urel. We've had her for a week. And got to see some more time, played with her and all that. And so we're going to do just a few things today and then jump straight to emails and kind of catch up on them because there's a ton of them. Usually I just do one, sometimes two. But they've been piling up. I thought, why not rip through a bunch of these today and kind of make today's episode a little more of a community feedback sort of episode. And you guys have some great stuff to say, some great questions as usual. So we'll get to those in a second. But before we do any of that, I have not a complaint. I have a It's kind of a complaint, but not really a complaint. I don't want people to go, oh, great, here comes Scott with one of his complaints. It's not like that. It's just something I noticed, that the game in its current state, that is to say Heroes of the Storm, seems to heavily encourage the idea of playing low-level characters so that you can get not just loot boxes, that's a thing, but that's not the main motivation. I think that number up there, your rank number, is a constant in the back of your head, niggling little thing that's going, hey man, how's your big number doing? Are those numbers going up? And you say, well, you know, I'd really like to play Sylvanas or whoever. For me, it'd be Jaina. I feel like playing Jaina. Oh, well, what level's Jaina? Well, she's 42. Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That won't make that number go up very fast. It'll take a long time to get to 43. And I say to that little devil in the back of my head, you know, you're right. Let's play some level 2 or 3 thing I never really touched before. What I'm getting at here is I think the game encourages all of us to play low-level characters that we either don't like or don't play very often, or would otherwise not be playing, in favor of, you know, gaining greater skill at the characters we're really good at, just so we can see that number go up. Do we agree with Scott's assessment, John? Because I've noticed you do this. John will go back and find a level 4 and go, may as well get him to 5. That number will go up and I get some loot boxes. And maybe that's the point. Maybe I'm missing the point. This is what we're supposed to be motivated by. But I also kind of wish I was as motivated to really, really, really crank on the characters that I'm best suited to play so that when I'm needed, I can perform. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So where's your head on this?
So I think the reason I do it mostly is I just like playing a wide variety of heroes, honestly. And there are some that I definitely take to more than others. There's some that I always feel like I'm able to go back to. There are characters that I've put a ton of time into that I feel like if I played them now would be almost a nightmare to get into. Like, I don't think I've played Karazim since his original rework. Like, I think I've maybe put in one game since they added the Spirit Ally.
Mm.
And that's a character that I have, you know, right now up to past level 15. So that's a character that's got this nice gold border. Ooh, look, Karazim. John's a master at Karazim. But if I played him, I would be lost. I'd have really no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
So part of going back to some of these characters is to just kind of refresh myself on them. Because even if I'm not going to get serious and say, like, I played an Ariel game, we played one last night. Even if I'm not going to get serious and say, yep, Ariel's my new jam, I'm going to spend all this time on her, it does good for me to know how she's playing right now. Because I have a preconceived notion of how Ariel plays in general, but how is she performing at the moment? Because there's been little tweaks, there's been changes. You know, sometimes it's gradual over time, and what I think Ariel is capable of may not be what she's necessarily capable of anymore.
So again, you're doing that because you want the familiarity with where she's at right now isn't so much about you increasing your skill with her. It's also about increasing your skill against her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I understand that playing a wide variety of characters is going to make you a more well-rounded character player, but also you're going to do better in draft and things like that, where, you know, you need to be able to make picks that aren't necessarily your first pick, but, you know, that makes sense to me. I totally get it. Bo, do you feel like they're pushing that number down your throat though? I mean, you're higher than any of us on that actual number, but do you ever feel
my
like,
number's so big.
Yeah, it's huge. You guys should see Bo's number. It's a big honking number.
Got a really big number. And sometimes I walk into a game and the allies are like, dude,
your number.
Got a big number.
So big number.
And I'm like, oh, fill yourself with envy.
That's going this way.
No, just kidding. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I know a level 900 Tracer who would have some opinions. Well, I don't know one. I played with one randomly. We played no other character but Tracer at a level like 900. Just, no, it was like level 400, but like 9,000 games played. That's where the 9 comes from.
Oh my gosh.
It was like 9,000 Tracer games I posted on Twitter. And then the next one was like 100, and it was like played 4 other characters.
Wow.
I think it is definitely designed to make you try all the heroes, because if you're going to play the game, you might as well experience all of its content. I think if you're someone who just plays a few heroes, you're probably doing that because you just, you know, you want to perform well on heroes and you've found a your niche, when even if you're playing quick match or whatever, and maybe you like those heroes, but it behooves you just to experience the game. You could try hero a few games, and if you don't like it, you don't have to play it forever.
Yeah.
But just to try the heroes helps you learn how to play against them on your favorite heroes. If you've spent some time playing the heroes, then you know what it feels like to be bested or what they fear. So that informs your knowledge. But yeah, the game definitely does that. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Right.
But you know, we could delve really deep into the way video game culture has shifted ever since achievements first launched on that darn Xbox 360, I think.
Yeah, 360 was the first one.
Darn Xbox 360.
That's my favorite.
On the original Xbox, right? That's when I first encountered this achievement. My friend, I remember going to my friend Croft and saying, "Gears of War," and he's like, "Look at what happens when I kill this thing," and boom. Little achievement comes up. We're like, "Whoa, bro, you got an achievement." We're like, "Achievements are sweet."
Yeah.
And then they've been manipulating gamers ever since.
Yeah. It sounds like a sitcom on G4 back in the day before that network went away. That darned Xbox.
Yeah. That darned Xbox.
That darned Xbox. Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying. And from my perspective, I don't disagree. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. It's just, I do have that feeling sometimes where I'll look at my number and go, well, all right, I don't have that much time to play. So what I should do, I start strategizing and thinking, well, let's do games with, I don't know, the Butcher, because I've barely played him ever, and let's get his numbers up because he would be level 5 in no time, and that's 5 loot boxes, and that's 5 numbers on the thing. So because hero levels equate to new numbers on the big number, I do find myself being pulled that way a little bit. And maybe that's what they want me to do, because then I'll be a Butcher player at some level. Like I can play Butcher at that point or something. And I get that. It's different than the quest problem where they're like, all right, if you want to earn a bunch of these cool rewards during this event, you got to make sure to do A, B, and C. And everybody's doing A, B, and C. And now you got weird comps and quick match because... nobody wants to play the best current healer working in the game. You're going to play something that's, you know, it's whoever it is. Lili's great, but let's just use her for an example. Lots of Lili's because she's a Warcraft character. You got to play 4 of those to start the event. Blah, blah, blah. Like yesterday, I played a ton of the new Junkrat in his new skin and totally forgot that that does not count as a Warcraft hero. So we get done with 4 games and I look at John virtually because I can't see him. But I'm just like, damn it. I played all that and got nothing for it. I played some games, had a great time, got lots of things for it. I got some good times with John. I even got a level.
You got a level 10.
Yeah, it was great. But it just, you know, that number, it's a me problem, but that number keeps poking me. It makes me, part of it's because right now I'm like, at least with the three of us, mine's the lower number. And it makes me feel behind, and I hate that feeling. So I start thinking, well, I don't want to be behind, even though I know the real answer, just like anything else in life, is you got to do the work, right? In this case, you got to play more so you can get those numbers up. But in my head, I'm going, all right, who could I play 3 games with this level 1 I never touch? And how you doing over there, Karazim? You're like 1 hair away from a level. And that's how I'm thinking about it. I don't think that's the way I'm supposed to be thinking about it.
I think getting that experience though is good. I mean, you don't know whether or not you love a character until you play it. Mm. And if you go in and you say, these are the heroes I play and that's it, you know, you miss out on part of the experience. We played some games with our very own mod, Wicked Kitten, who we like to make fun of because she only ever plays Lunara.
Yeah.
And she, angered by our "you only ever play Lunara" comments, decided I'm going to play a bunch of different heroes. And she went on a kick, discovered she really loves Cassia.
Mm.
Like, that wouldn't have happened if she hadn't branched out. So I do think that it's encouraging it. I think doing it purely for the numbers going up sake is maybe not ideal, but I think the benefits and what you're getting out of it is actually a good thing. So I think it's probably... ultimately okay that's where your mind is at.
It's just such an e-peen, right?
That's how it works. Like, if we can just borrow World of Warcraft for a second.
Sure.
If there's an achievement system that I could manifest in real life and punch it in the face that I want to the most, it's the world, because I like that game.
Yeah.
But that achievement system is stupefyingly awful. It, if you don't have the achievements, if you look at this giant laundry list of things I haven't done, and then it influences your gameplay. Let's do this for the achievement. That's not fun.
Yeah.
And then the poor people who have 5 billion achievements, does anyone not feel guilty that they made people play their product and put them through all that for nothing? Like, nothing, like I really hate achievements. Your player number is basically Hero's version of achievements. Well, look how many levels I have, Scott.
Well, Joe Brewer in the chat has it right. He says the big reason a lot of people don't join WoW or come in a later expansion they haven't played for a while is because they feel inferior. Those numbers seem out of reach to them. So in their mind, they're thinking, well, everyone's all ahead of me. What am I going to do when I get in here? That's lame. And I'm sure there's some of that feeling. Like if you're getting into Heroes right now and you see Bo's big, giant 1,000, 1,500, whatever number it is, and you realize, oh my gosh, that's at least 1,500 character levels.
You know what I do? You know what? How arrogant I am? Whenever we log into a quick match, I take my number and I quickly add up the enemy's team's number and see if it's larger than the entire team. And it doesn't happen that often yet, but someday I will own the numbers of all the people on the enemy team.
Well, see,
you're actually doing to me. See? This is unhealthy.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's even a bad thing. It's fun to brag about achievement, blah, blah, blah. It's fine. I get it. It's human nature, but, there is that. It just rubs me a little wrong sometimes, because there are times where I'm in the mood for something like, I feel like playing Tracer, but she's pretty high level for me and I'm not going to level her for a while. And there's that number. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll just cave and do something else. And then we may probably lose some games because I don't know how to play this other guy very well, or I don't know. It's that kind of stuff. John, sorry.
That's what quick match is for, but it could just be your position in it. Because like I said, I don't think about the number almost at all anymore, unless it's going to get to something that changes the border, and then I'm just excited because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get a new border, what's it gonna be? But I went into Overwatch recently and I was like, man, I've played like 8 games of Overwatch.
I always have to tell people in Overwatch, I always have to remind them that me, you, and Bo and a couple other people played the beta hardcore. Like, mm-hmm. we went hard to the paint.
Played
and,
like 48 hours straight on the free weekend.
Tons and tons of levels that
Scott
just
went
got
to bed, and then he woke up the next day and logged in and played with me.
Yeah, and they wiped all that out at the end of the beta, so it didn't carry forward. And so now you just feel perpetually behind, even though you were actually ahead of these people at some point.
Yeah. It's small. It's like a little bronze number. It's like a pat on the head, and it's like, it's good that you bought the game. is what it feels like it's telling me. And you think about it in that situation. You're like, man, people are going to look at me and think I'm a scrub. But I'll tell you, the way I think about it, even when I played Overwatch, was, yeah, but I know I'm good. And people are going to freak out when they see this scrub take them to town. But then it turns out I wasn't good.
It does.
Yeah, people have gotten very good at Overwatch, and yeah, I was not there with them when it happened.
Yeah,
they fixed one of the systems that affected me with 2.0, which was the Master Skin system.
Mm.
But prior to 2.0, I had all but 5 or 10 gold border, like max level characters, and I had nearly enough gold to buy all the Master Skins. And my psychology was, I want to go into every match having the Master Skin. I don't care about buying the skins as much as showing, you know, random people and stuff I'm in that I mean business on this character because I've played it to max level.
Right.
And now they've disabused me of an incentive to want to wear Master Skins. Now Master Skins are like,
they're just another skin,
crappy toy at the bottom of a cereal box. You want an iPhone. You don't want some little pop thing. So like when I'm spending money now, I'm like, oh, this is a sick Johanna skin. Yeah. I'm going to wear this.
Yeah. It's so, they flipped that script completely, and I think in the right direction. But I don't know. It's just a thing I've been thinking about. It's not that big a deal, and it's funny because in Overwatch I have the same. I actually do okay in there. I kind of hold my own. And part of that is, well, at least part of what I tell myself is that I'm coming in there looking like, you know, a sub level 100 guy, but I've had enough play experience and enough FPS experience in my life that I'm doing well enough to that I am impressing everyone around me who have much higher scores than me. So that's how I justify it over there. I was just playing Quake Champions today. By the way, a couple things about that. I know it's got nothing to do with Heroes, but I just want to get this off my chest.
I'm queuing up my sick burn. I'm ready for it. Get ready. You'll know it when you hear it.
That game, when you play that game, they are making Quake. That is a Quake-ass game. It's very Quake. And that's a good thing. It needs to play like Quake. I got good news for everybody. So far, in its early access state, Quake Champions from Bethesda and id Software plays like freaking classic-ass Quake, and it feels great. Like, the moment
but
to moment...
But who'd you play it against? Because you're the only one.
Well, here's what I found out. So, when I first got in, I did notice that during the kind of like, not tutorial phase, but the phase where you get your first level so you can open up ranked and all that, my opponents seemed woefully poor players. And I thought, uh-oh, this is one of those deals again where I'm being presented with bots and not being told about it. Right? I still think that's what was going on, but I was still having a good time. I'm happy to report, though, that I got into ranked and I'm playing only real people now with names and saying a-hole things over chat, so I know it's them. and while it was obviously a tougher challenge, it still feels really good, and I get in kind of a zen state with Quake. I don't know what the deal is. I always have with Quake. Quake's always been this zen place.
Is the alpha, is that invite period done? I forgot to.
No, I think you can get it now still. I think you have to do it today, though, or tomorrow, or it's end soon.
Right, after the show. Yeah, I'm interested in Quake.
It's super
good. The Doom revival was excellent. The Wolfenstein revival's been excellent. I have no reason to believe that Quake won't feel like a really fun shooter.
Yeah, people that don't like it only really complain about the fact that it's free to play and that it's, you know, has those trappings, but whatever. We live in a time where that's just how this stuff is now. It's very true to, like, the arena shooter that you remember. It's really fun and visceral, and I really,
it's
really
like
it.
It's a bit of a hero shooter. Quake wasn't like that, was it?
No, but the way this thing works is, it's not, people think, oh, well, then it's like Overwatch. No, it's, everyone's got the same stuff. Like, you pick up the same guns. It's weapons, spots, you pick them up. There's health, ammo, shards, all the stuff you used to do in those games, like Unreal and Quake. So you're all on equal ground. You don't have more armor than the other guy or whatever. That's not how it works. You all have a special move you activate with F, and you earn that over time. You can also boost how quickly that comes by running over certain pickups or getting kills and things, and there's ways to help that. But when you use that, then it's unique for your character. So BJ Blazkowicz, who's in this game, will dual wield during the time that has a cooldown. But while that thing's active, you'll pull up a second version of no matter what gun you have. So if you've got the rocket launcher, up comes a second one, and you're doing double on everybody. This other guy I'm playing has these big rocket launcher things on his head, on his shoulders, and they store up to 5 of them, and I'm just whacking F every time I launch one of these grenades into this fray, and it just adds this extra explosive element. Outside of those special moves, though, everybody's different skin or character or voice, whatever, but they're not like advantaged in gameplay. So that's interesting. And anyway, bottom line is, what was my point with that? I was going to make a point, and I forgot what it was. But how was I tying it? I had a whole tie-in to
we were talking about Heroes. Achievements and leveling and...
Oh, that's what it is. When you get in early, like this is in an early access state, and you feel like you are at least with everybody, if not ahead, you know? Like, you feel like you're, ooh, I'm right up here in the front lines. I'm not way in the bleed and the nosebleeds. Latecomers or whatever, and then if you don't stick with it, whatever the game may be, you just start to have that feeling of loss. Now, I'm not saying Heroes is any better or worse than that than anything else, but it is an issue, right? Like, you know, League of Legends and Dota are notoriously toxic to new players. Well, why? Well, because you're late and we've been here earning our e-peen all this time, so what are you doing here 5 years late, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know how you get around that. Maybe there's no way. Video games as a service, it's just maybe the nature of the beast, and I should quit worrying about it. But I have been thinking about it, sort of the philosophical stance that I have with these games and how they sort of work or whatever. But
it's
secondarily, Quake is cool. I wanted to mention that.
Like in a competitive multiplayer game, it's really hard to do because people just get better. They play a thing, they get better at it. They can't help it. you know, you look at something like World of Warcraft, and I would argue that there are things they could have done. For the longest time, whenever it came time to predict the future of World of Warcraft, I always said, well, they're going to stop us leveling at 100, because already 100 seems like an unattainable number.
Mm-hmm.
And why go above it? And then they went above it, and now I'm like, what are they going to do? Stop at 120? Who stops at 120? Now they have to go to at least 125.
Right.
And like, I just feel like sometimes they don't do themselves any favors by setting the numbers so high that people feel like, well, I'll never get there. And it's hard to do, because you want to recognize that players have put in time and effort and skill. Yeah. And, you know, a person who's put in the kind of leveling that Bo has, you want him to have something that's reflected in that.
Sure.
Like, hey, you put in time. You're a skilled player. You're a knowledgeable player. Here's a number. But it is hard when you come in and you're like, I'm a one. You know?
Yeah.
Now, the good news is you'll probably be a three after your first game.
Yeah.
So,
if you win that first game, you'll walk out a three. If you lose, you'll walk out a two. So, yes, right. Early on, it's like, oh, yeah, levels. It's just, I am now at that stage where I still have some characters I could do that with, but nobody wants to play with me while I'm trying to figure out what the lost damn Vikings do. Who wants to be there for that game?
Do.
None of us
I
do.
Watch,
no, you don't, dude.
I
want
to be there.
You don't want to be there. I promise. I would barely have want. I don't want me there, and I'm the one doing it.
I want to hear the amount of times you say shit while playing the Lost Vikings.
Well, it'll be more than three, I can tell
and
you.
And have a little counter down at the bottom of the screen to keep track of it.
Then I turn them
it'd
in.
Be like me when I tried to learn Abathur, and Bo at one point just says, this is the quietest I've ever heard John
do. You were so
like,
focused.
I'm focusing.
You were really focused on Abathur that day. I remember that. Well, anyway, that's just a thought. Send your emails in. Tell us what you think about it. Quick note. They've changed the battleground pool. We got a lot of feedback saying, my gosh, I've played 15 games and one of them was on the new Alterac pass deal. So I have a question about that we'll get to in a second. But here is the battleground pool as it currently is constituted. Alterac pass, Braxis holdout. Yay! You guys are excited about that.
Overjoyed that we got Braxis Holdout.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single map that I would replace Braxis Holdout with.
Yeah. I mean, none of them with any kind of doom or towers in it.
Garden of Terror.
I would take Garden of Terror. Look, yeah, I'm going to say this. I'm going to take a hardline stance. For the longest time, I said Garden of Terror, worst map. I even said it to the devs when I met them.
Yeah.
I have come around on Garden of Terror. It is not awful. It is not great, but I'm actually okay with it right now.
Well,
I mean, at least you got to play a game instead of a 6-minute waste of time.
Right. Whereas Braxis Holdout, yeah, it's got problems. But anyway, that's in there. So Cursed Hollow is the next one. Dragonshire, Infernal Shrines, and Tomb of the Spider Queen. I can think of a number of maps I would have preferred in there besides Braxis Holdout, but there it is. So if you're wondering why you're not getting Alterac Pass very often, I did want to at least mention this. It's because they're not doing anything special to give you that map, other than the overall reduction of maps in the pool, which means in theory you should get it more often, but you still only really have a 1 in 7 chance of getting it. And
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I've played 7 or 8 games since it dropped, and I've seen it once that time with John. That's it. So that bums me out. I guess what I'm saying is it would be cool if there was a way to boost that, like have it appear more regularly during this initial phase. I feel like that'd be good for them too, because they get lots of test data. And
What if you hated the map?
Well, I like it though, from what I saw. We've only seen it one time, and that's true. What if you hate it? Like, that's answered it.
There was some experiments done with like Haunted Mines where it was the Brawl map for the week.
Yeah,
like I think probably that's the solution when a new map comes out. I don't know why that's not happening here, but
that's a good point.
You know, if you really want to play the map, then do a brawl.
Yeah, I guess so. But John, I think you answered it. If there are people, and there always will be people who don't like a map, like for every three of us who aren't real happy with Braxis right now, there's somebody who loves that map. I don't know who it is, but somebody loves it. So,
I mean, I like the aesthetic. I like Zerg. There's a lot of Zerg on that.
Sure.
Map.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff's great. It's just the way it plays is weird. But, like, Towers of Doom, we all agree, is a really cool map. John thinks it's the best map in the game. I'm inclined to agree. I'm pretty close on that. But I know a bunch of people who hate that freaking map. So if they weighted it in favor of the new map being in the most rotation for players, that would probably be bad in that regard. And so I think you answered it for me. I think you just answered the whole problem I've been struggling with for days. Why would it be equal with the rest of these maps? Because not everyone's excited to play it, or not everyone liked it the first time through, or the variety is what makes you fonder for it when it finally comes around, or I don't know what it is, but smarter minds are at work at Blizzard. I'm sure that's why they do that. But
yeah, I mean, the only part about this that's confusing to me is why Brax's holdout is on there.
Yep.
Brax's needs is those walls in the middle need to come down. You think about Battlefield of Eternity when you're fighting over the Immortals, you've got pretty direct access to getting around.
Yeah.
But on Brax, it's like, oh crap, the enemy team rotated. Let's take the biggest detour possible to get to the top side.
Now, the ones where the bosses are and they have the big wall behind them on each. Yeah, I hate that.
Sometimes it's like, I'm not rotating enough to contest these things, or we're over-rotating and the enemy's just picking us off. Like, it's, you know, it can be real frustrating playing on that map. And then it just snowballs with, you know, with the quick match scenario, if you ran him into it, well, he was more wave clear.
Mm-hmm.
Behold their terror as they push the lane in, you know.
I get stuck in there all the time in that wad of goo.
As a source of frustration, I'm always like, oh my god, I gotta mount up, walk all the way around, and by then, like, so much has happened that it's,
yeah,
I might as well stay here, but the situation's not much better now. Anyways, it's,
you are forced to move horizontally there in a way that is not conducive to
And the map's like, nope.
Yeah. I don't like that.
We'll put a boss here and nobody will do anything in the middle of the map while all the action happens in the most inconvenient place on the map. Yeah. Basically.
Still no sign of Hanamura, which, you know, no huge surprise, but I'm still very curious if that ever makes a return or if it just disappears.
We'll see it soon. I think it's a return is nigh.
Really?
Do you think we get a second Warcraft map? Is this a Warcraft event?
I mean, it is.
We get Torin Mill.
Oh my god.
Versus South Shore.
That'd be cool, but I don't know,
or
dude.
Or Terran Mill, not Torin Mill.
I'll bet you the next WoW map is nothing like this. I bet it's not land and mountains and trees. I'll bet the next one's some kind of weird ethereal void, some, you know, dream, whatever,
like
dream.
Alduar, basically.
Yeah, or something weird like that. Like, it won't be just another one of these. I can't imagine it would be. Alduar would be cool. Something to do with that.
You know what they really should do? They should do the airship fight
from Ice Crown. Yeah, that'd be all
right. You're right. That might actually make for a really good battleground.
Yeah. I've wanted a flying map. I doubt we ever get it with this whole, it's a StarCraft engine business, but like a map on moving places where you can fall and on moving platforms, and
that could be interesting.
Warcraft airships.
Yeah.
Cannonballs and like ways to shoot yourself over to the enemy's ship and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, that sounds all right. I don't know if they'll
And then Falstead wouldn't fall, so he'd be a big pick on this map because he'd just fly off.
I'm still of the opinion that they're not sure having more maps is the right thing or not. I don't know. I'm still torn on it myself.
They seem very tempered in when they release them. Yeah. They definitely don't seem to have a let's get as many out there as humanly possible attitude with maps.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing because that's an insane amount of work, I would imagine. And if it doesn't go well, it's an even more insane amount of work as you try to fix it.
But here's why I think they should lean into it though. Because some maps just prove to be not favorites and some maps prove to be favorites. And you're not going to know 100% what those are. So just throw them out there. And then after, like, because now everyone hates Black Hearts now all of a sudden. I mean, I know it wasn't favorite, but I think it's just lost a lot of its gloss. And we've had it for like 4 years now. We've been playing on this Black Hearts Bay.
Yeah.
It's not glossy anymore. So, you know, if it doesn't stand the test of time, like Cursed Hollow stands the test of time. You don't hear a lot of complaints about that, Matt, but Black Hearts you do. So like at a certain point, once you got your ranked mode, you can have like a, you know how like Magic the Gathering has its like top cards from the history of Magic, and then they make a deck or make a new set and put the big cards from history, include them in there. You could do that here where, you know, after a period of time, they're just like Haunted Mines. All right. Well, we throw up maps all the time, so whatever. It'll just be over here in this recycle bin.
Yeah,
recycle bin queue.
You deprecate it the way you do the way it's like Wild in Hearthstone. Same idea. You're just putting it in a place where yes, it's playable. Yes, it's still there for you, but it's in the Wild queue and no longer part of the current queue.
Because the community is going to, you know, after a time decide if they like maps or don't like maps, and you know, I don't think Haunted Mines is fixable, and I think they should just be okay with that. I think that's where like everyone sort of counter to the Blizzard pedigree, where it's like we ship it and it's good, and we work on it and we get feedback, but we spend a lot of time working on it. Maybe you don't spend a lot of time working on something that was okay, but you know, I don't know. It's just how I look at it.
I would still take Haunted Mines over Braxis right now, though.
I mean, yeah.
I've learned to dislike it.
I think I like it more, but I really have grown to have a strong dislike of two lane maps.
It's just too
many bodies in a lane. It's just like, or it's one, you know, in the four lane, like, and it's just, it's easier, it's the 33% less push and structure HP that they have to do. I don't know if they compensate the structure HP on two lane maps, but
probably
once Nazebo's got a hold of a fort's nuts, he's not letting go, you know.
I like Battlefield of Eternity. I think that one is okay. That's probably the closest I get to liking a two-lane map.
Yeah, well, it's because they've given you so much to do in the middle there. It's almost like a three-lane map. It's just that everybody has to do three-lane things for a portion of it. I agree. There's something about that map that makes that work okay. But, yeah, generally, I don't like it.
I think it's because you spend a lot of time in the middle. I think taking the objective takes quite a bit of time.
Yeah, that's most of it.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of Nazebo grabbing a fort by its nuts and not letting go.
Where is D-Nuts?
And just grabs you by the nuts. It's fantastic. All right. Well, anyway, that's going on. Hey, reminder, before we get to these emails and the bulk of what we're going to talk about today, there will be Dungeons on Saturdays. We have a brand new episode coming up this week. We had a fantastic episode last week. If you are not listening or watching our live and then later archived episodes of D&D Adventurism, then you're lame and you should go check it out for real. Like, it's awesome and we love it and you'll love it too. It's me, Kyle, Kristen, John, and Bo all doing it for the kids. No, we're just having fun. Check it out. It's at therewillbedungeons.com. Therewillbedungeons.com. All right, we're going to jump ahead and do this now. Emails, got a bunch here. Core at heroesforyou.com is the email address. You can also go to the website at heroesforyou.com and just click the contact link. That will work as well. Here's a question and a thought from Dude What Emailed Us. That's his name because he didn't leave a name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he left no name. So here it is. Scott and John, your horde bias is showing. So, Bo, you're safe on this one.
I raised the flag. Like,
true. It says, I can't tell if that was the Alterac sound or the noise they make when you get something wrong on The Price is Right, but it doesn't matter.
No, The Price is
I need to get a hold of that. I'm sure I could grab that real quick. Anyway, if you have played Alliance, you would know that Bo's pronunciation is correct. Her name was said about 50,000 times in the Shadowmoon Valley quest chain.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for sticking up for me.
Was it by other pseudo-Russian space goats?
If you have a Draenei accent and you say, yes, hello, Yurel, come over here. It sounds different.
Right.
Bo doesn't have that accent. That's not how he sounds.
Right.
He sounds like a normal man.
If you say Alexi.
Sometimes a Canadian man, but a normal man. And he should say it like a normal ass man when he says it.
Yeah, I think I still agree with John. It says time travel is dumb, and there are at least 48 better Draenei to have picked than an alternate universe wannabe hero they forced down our throat in WoW's worst expansion. He says. He really isn't like her.
Wow, this is your buddy, Bo.
Yeah, he says, quote, if your horde, or not quote, in parentheses, if your horde, she shows up in a couple of cinematics and there's no way for you to know who she is and why she's even there. That's it, dude. What mailed us, emailed us.
Then how does Scott and I know about her? Okay, I have a problem with your entire
You guys do shows about the game. You look things up so that you don't look dumb when you do your shows.
Yeah. That has never stopped me before, and I'm not about to change it.
Right, but I also knew more. I felt like I knew her real well from. Well, that's because I looked at all the cinematics on every side. I wasn't, ignoring the Alliance stuff. I just didn't play it.
Let me say this. I understand when he says there are 48 other Draenei that he could have picked. I understand this, and I'm not mad about it because he's not wrong. I happen to like Yaddle, and she's just a great character, great vibe. Love the armor, like the idea that there's a, you guys got your Sylvanas now, you got your ladies in power, and don't get as much of that on the Alliance side. We've got Jaina, not really a leader, we're talking like leaders here, right? Leaders are all these dudes. And so you got this young woman whose leadership is thrust upon her because of Velen's death, spoilers. And so she's, alternate universe.
Right, Velen, I was going to say, I forgot.
Still moving, still very moving cinematic.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong, except I'm happy they put Yaddle in the game.
Yeah.
But if you like Draenei, there are plenty of amazing Draenei characters that don't get cinematics that are just quest givers or people, in the last few expansions of Warcraft, there's voice acting and, just the regular world. And some of that stuff's pretty cool too. And definitely it's like, if you're Horde, you probably don't talk to too many of the Draenei and get those clips, those voice scenes. But if you play Alliance, you do. So,
well, when we played Alliance, when we played, not Alliance, when we played that expansion, who's the other guy?
Murad.
He was all up in our stuff.
In Burning Crusade or in
Orlords? Yeah, he was hammering people with Thrall.
Yeah, he was in all those cinematics they put out before the expansion. So
there's like a murder mystery, like in the Alliance side in Draenor. There's I can't remember the details, but someone dies and you got to talk to some Draenei and figure out who did it. And there's all this like social interaction that you don't get if you play on the Horde side. So it's like that's.
Yeah.
As a Draenei player and a Draenei fan, I'm stoked about having any Draenei, to be honest, except Velen, because he's old and boring. And, we already have Deckard Cain. It doesn't have to become retirement of the storm.
I'm into that, though. I like the idea of all the old people in the games to show up in the game. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, Deckard kind of fills that spot. He fills the Velen spot. It's just like, we can't put two olds out in a row.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think our next
game just a bunch of olds coming out one after another. Ugh.
He may show up at some point, but I don't think we ever get Velen. We don't get Velen anytime soon.
We definitely get Velen at some point. Yeah. He's too iconic. But
he just stands there while the Horde murders him and is like, "This is fine.
This is okay."
The alternate universe Velen has a really cool moment where you might even see that as Horde, but you go back to the Exodar and you find out his son is an Eredar. And he's like heartbroken about it.
Yeah,
and Yaddle is there, of course. That's a really awesome part of the story.
Mm. Yeah, we did that.
No.
They made the Horde go to the friggin' Exodar every 10 seconds, which is awful because that place
that's
is
lucky. I love Exodar. On Alliance, that's where I set my hearth and do my auction house in the quiet. And peace of the Exodar. Yes, the Azurmist Isle and Exodar is like the best place on.
Okay, let me just say, I agree with you about Azurmist Isle. I think it's awesome. And also, I think if the Exodar was made today, it'd look a lot cooler. But here's what I think. I think that place is like three polygons all stretched out and it's pink and dumb.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's a product of its time, but.
It is.
You know, when it was more of a product of its time, which, I played in and it was its home.
Yeah.
You guys. Got Silvermoon and no one hangs out there and it's beautiful there.
It's amazing there.
It's wonderful. It's the city where no one goes to.
Yeah. I think it's just magic and that's how they keep everyone out. I don't know. That's a weird place. Let's find out what this guy says.
Well, before we do, ahead. I just want to say, because I'm all about common ground.
Yeah.
And I think, there were a lot of points made in this email and I'm happy that we can all find the common ground that we all disagree with the emailer in some way.
There you go. Nailed Take it. Jaos wrote in. And says, last show was great, guys. Can I ask Bo to go to BlizzCon with his legendary hobo skin with the newspaper hat, eating burgers from a bush, and saying that other cosplayers are meh? Keep it up, guys.
Thank you for saying other cosplayers as if I was one.
Well, yeah, when you put the paper on your head, you are clearly cosplaying as Medivh.
Yeah, you kind of a Medivh thing going on. I liked it.
I mean, I gotta be honest with you. There are plenty of hobos cosplaying at BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at the bus stops all around. I was like super sad. It made me super sad to see that.
There's a lot of that.
I thought this was Disneyland was here. Disneyland, the place of broken dreams. It made me so sad.
This is what happens. People gravitate to where a bunch of food and people are, and it's a bummer. I don't mean it's a bummer because they're coming there. It's a bummer.
But they didn't bother me. I walked by like, I mean, 80, and it's like, because see, up here in Canada, when a homeless guy's there, he's looking for an opportunity to sequester you and get stuff from you.
Right.
It's always like a shit, you know, because I don't know. I just expected to be asked for like, you know, booze and cigarettes and money and everything. And I'm like, there's 8 of them in this bus shelter. I'm screwed. And I'm trying to walk by, and I'm like, don't notice me, don't notice me. And they're like, they pay no attention after a weekend there.
Are you sure homeless people in Canada aren't zombies? Like, what you're describing is zombies.
No, because, like, you know, homeless people are hungry.
Yeah.
Or they have an addiction and they want something.
Uh-huh.
And so they see you, an affluent person of means, and they say,
brains.
Let me see if I can procure something. And I was expecting that in a place with a bunch of tourists, people with money, and here I am. I'm from Canada. And
that's zombies, though. You just described zombies.
It does sound like zombies, but also I'll say this. I think that there's less of... There's plenty of it happening in Anaheim. It's just not as prominent.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Maybe I just got lucky. I don't know.
I don't know why, because there are people in downtown Salt Lake City who are homeless who will immediately
remember that
accost
first night. I didn't have a hotel room, and I walked an hour to a cheap motel I found, and I was scared out of my life because I didn't see a soul for like 50 minutes of it. And I'm like, this looks like the place in Breaking Bad. I'm going to get shot or something. And, you know.
You're gonna
Scott,
get,
did I ever tell you when I first ran into Bo on the same trip as the hobo Bushburger Bo?
No.
So we were standing outside of Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, all waiting to go in. And I look down the street. I feel like, although it could just be because it makes the story better, I feel like I was talking about him. Mm. And then as if summoned from thin air, I look on the sidewalk. And walking down the street with what seems to be all his possessions and looking like a vagrant is Bo, just wandering down the street. I said, oh, hey, Bo, what are you doing? Just didn't know where I was going to stay. Like, he's literally in California living the life of just, I don't know, I was just moving from one hotel to the next. So I was like, do you want to come in for chicken and waffles? Yeah. Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, we should you know what we should have done? Kim will kill me that I'm hearing this and not telling her. She's going to be mad that we didn't have you to stay in our hotel room that night. She's going to be pissed. Because I don't think she knows this. I know, but she doesn't know this.
We didn't talk to like the panel or something.
No, I know. If I'd have known, we'd have done it. But Kim in particular, like if she hears about this, you'll get shit in the mail next week. Like food and cookies and like sorry notices and... Like,
oh, don't be. It's fine. I'm a big boy.
I'm just
it's
telling,
my time
I
to
know
go.
You
it's
are.
My time to go.
And that's what I would tell her if it's your time to go. If I'm gonna die here in downtown Anaheim,
I was scared. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, it was like I'm in Anaheim. I'm with no one. It is.
I'm
one
a
in
Canadian.
The morning. I am walking an hour in a place that the houses only have one story.
Yeah. Gorillas in the chat says chicken and waffles. Is that a thing? Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Huge thing.
It's amazing. Chicken and waffles is good no matter where you get it.
It is the best.
Oh, my Lord. I want it right now. I had chicken tonight, just no waffles.
All right. Yeah, I offended the guy that runs that place, but then they told him I was a Canadian. He was cool with it.
Oh, well, good. Well, everyone
I
is.
I can't remember what I said, out. Though. But
turns out we really like Canadians. It's we're not as nice to people on the other border.
Well, most of us do.
Yeah. Well, I like them. Pretty
There's
cool.
some in
yeah.
certain positions of government.
I like Bob and Doug McKenzie. I like them.
Most Canadian of Canadians.
Oh, yes. Bagheera 74, a commoner and a regular. In our...
Speaking of affluence.
Yeah, sorry. I meant regular in the chat room.
Let me introduce you to Lord Johnson. Do not look him directly in the eye.
That's an awful pickup line. You got to be careful who you say that to.
I screwed that up. Anyway, it says, I'm over the moon that Urel is in the game. So this guy's opposite of other dude, what emailed us. He says, I remember playing the alpha before Warlords was even released, and as soon as I finished Urel's storyline in that expansion, she became my number one most wanted character for Heroes of the Storm. Number two was Alexstrasza, and we've already got her. Sorry. It's also great for those of us who play Draenei on the bulk of our WoW characters to finally have one of our heroes. Now that we have our first Draenei, who would you want next? Akama, Velen, maybe even the Eredar-like Archimonde or Kil'jaeden. Your friend and the worst HOTS player ever, Bagheera74.
Now, see, this is how Bagheera's doing it right. He didn't start off by saying your bias is showing, which is not as bad a thing as people make it out to be. I'm happy to tell everybody about the Horde.
Yeah, they're great.
You just have to ask, and sometimes you don't even have to do that.
Nope,
he is on board with Urel, which is also good. He didn't agree with Bo in the pronunciation thing, which also helps. Gets him points in my book.
Yeah.
Where did we say that?
He didn't. It's by omission, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
Also, he's the one who tweeted me, are we going to have to hear her name incorrectly from now on?
Oh, yeah. The answer is yes. Oh, was that him that said that? That was him that said that. Oh, okay.
The answer is Yuress.
Yeah, Yuress.
Yuress.
I love it. All the Y names should now be wrong. Yeah.
You have to roll it. Yir.
I can confirm he's not the worst Heroes player ever. I can tell you that. I know that is a absolute truth.
Jordan. I know we played with a bunch of them the other night.
Yeah, just last night we played some pretty bad against and with players, and they were not. You were better than we did taking you over them is what we're saying. Crush wrote in, says, hello, Core Hounds. Let me start off by saying I agree the bundles should be more subdivided. Well, then maybe they like this new bundle because it's pretty subdivided. Anyway, make them cost whatever extra for making them small, but that option is a good one. I also think the decision to lower the sun's out probability in the Nexomania boxes was a good one. I do take issues with how you guys viewed the value of loot boxes, though, and it comes down to framing. If you are actually in the mindset that only the thing you're trying to get is good.
I think we've read this email before.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
That sounds extremely familiar.
I don't. It says the loot box is not going to be a good value for you. Oh, you know what? It does sound familiar, doesn't it? Did I screw this up? I might have.
Actually,
Crush.
We read this. Sounded pretty familiar too.
Oh yeah, you're right. We read your email, Crush, twice now. Boy, it didn't start sounding familiar until you said that, and then I read the. I opened 52 loot boxes and only got 2 skin tints. I do remember that line.
I can confirm that since this email over Twitter, I have spoken to Crush. And we discussed it further, and we found common ground.
Oh, that's good.
In that we both thought the first emailer was full of crap.
Yeah. Dumb emailer.
Sorry, I'm going to stop picking on the first.
That's all right. That guy's okay. We don't have his name, so it's fine. It's funny. As Homer used to say, it's funny because we don't know him.
Yeah.
Todd wrote in and says, and this is, I know, is real or new. Hey, Bo, John, and Scott, I want to drop you a line and thank you. Yesterday, I had started the new episode of Core, but had to pause during the opening. Later, I was having a really shit day, and I opened my podcast app up and unpaused the show just in time to hear Bo impersonate a Canadian customs official asking if the wrestling masks were for lovemaking. As silly as stuff like that is, it is actually why your show is the best, bar none. You guys are really great and work so well together. Thanks for everything you guys do. P.S. Quebec Rooster Medivh's portals have to be the sliding doors that are on the side of the train cars. What?
Yes. Okay.
You know what that means?
Okay, that's a Canadian thing.
Apparently. No, because he's a vagrant. Remember we talked about Hobo Medivh.
Oh right.
B-E-O. Oh right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a Quebec chicken when he turns into his bird form or a shithawk.
right. The shithawks. Well, we're, by the way, Todd, very happy to hear when people are entertained by us and our silliness. I mean, we're here to talk about the game we love and the things that are happening in it and all of that. But I think the number one thing I'm concerned about with the show, I should only speak for me because I think you guys are this way as well. But, you know, part of this is just, hey, friends talking about a thing they dig. And we're also kind of laying it all out there. We're not really trying to pretend to be radio hosts or, hey, look at the welcome to this perfectly structured thing. Like, that's never going to be this show. It will often venture into very hilarious areas. And that's
no matter what was on the original core pitch document.
Yeah.
Or, no, you know, what that's the two versions of today's show notes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, stuff has to find two versions. Are there two versions?
Yeah, go to the template. I was like, when are we going to get to some of these things?
Oh.
I was looking at this one.
Well, it's cause you wrote
I typed it in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah. You wrote it on template. And earlier it was in, there was nothing there. So I thought, oh, well, okay, it's 133 in this new tab. So I went in there and that's where I added all this stuff. And you've been writing it somewhere else.
I was just like, man, I guess Scott really hated my ideas for today's show. I guess we're just going to skip all of it.
Before
that's
the
fine.
Show, they were empty. So I didn't ever look back at template. You know, the one called template.
I was in a bit of a rush to populate notes and mistakes may have been made.
Well, this is
we had a great show for you.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to hear it.
This is very, very illustrative of what we're talking about with this guy. It actually works out pretty well. This is what Todd's talking about is what I'm saying. We're really loosey goosey. And that's, and listen, having done this many, many times over, started new shows, many of which are still in production, all of them have to find their voice, whatever that voice is. And you may go in with all sorts of unique intentions and specific plans and all of that. But if the voice of the show wants to go a different way, you have to let it and you make room for it. And that's what we've done. So Core is this thing that became what it was going to become no matter what we said we were going to do. So it's fine. It's all good. Except for this whole template notes thing that we did today.
I just assumed this was a case of exactly that. Sometimes when the voice of the show wants to go a different way, you just got to go with it.
Yeah, this is true. What did you have in here that was, oh, you know, we should at least mention the midseason brawl. You saw two games that you think are mandatory.
Yeah.
Tell me more and why should everybody be watching those? What happened there?
I think at the very least, if you just enjoy watching good Heroes of the Storm matches, spoilers for those of you sensitive to such things, the finals between Gen G, I hate their name so much, and Team Dignitas is exceptionally good, especially the last two matches, but the entire final itself was just stellar.
That's awesome.
And definitely worth checking out.
All right. I told you yesterday I was into that, and I will do it. I want to see it. I want to be there. I want to live there. Bo, did you see him? Did you see those games?
No.
Me neither. All right. Well, we're slackers then.
I had my nose stuck in a D&D book.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you, did you finish, is your Warframe obsession over for now, or where are you at with that?
It's what do you call it when it's cresting or it's lowering?
The decline.
It's declining.
It's when Bo stops talking like Diva, just to give people an idea of what that's like. When you crest on something, I get it.
I'd have to go at it hardcore. Like, it demands a lot of attention if you're going to do the I don't know what it is, just the grind game, I guess, like eke out those power levels and stuff for high level content. And
It's like Destiny at that point, which, you know, give or take. Yeah.
So I had some fun and we'll see. There's already new cool stuff for other games. So
there you go then.
There were a lot of guesses as to what you might have been up to last night before you showed up.
It's D&D. It's D&D, baby.
Warframe might have also gotten guessed.
Yeah, for those who wonder, Bo spends a considerable amount of time during the week working on our D&D stuff for Saturdays. We just kind of show up and experience them. But it's no small task. DMs impress me. And Bo is a DM. Which stands
thank you.
For,
I'm learning as I go, but hopefully getting better.
Dirty Montrealian. Nope, that's not it. Here's your final email. This is from Blood Anubis.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
He's also Blood Prime and AIE, which is a World of Warcraft guild, which we are also a part of. He says, hey guys, just wanted to chime in response to you saying everyone has killed Hogger at least once. And as a career Horde player since Wrath, I can say I've never encountered nor have killed Hogger. I know him from reputation, but have never seen him in person, to my knowledge anyway. For the Horde, Blood Anubis. P.S. A gnoll is a knoll, and a toll is a toll. And if we don't kill no knolls, then Westfall gets no tolls. He says he came up that himself. Or as he wrote, I came up with that myself.
I like it. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
I don't get it at all in terms of, I mean, I like it too, but.
It's words that rhyme, Scott.
Is that it? Yep. I once knew a man from Nantucket.
I like the fancy way you talk.
That's pretty good.
So I guess lucky for Blood Anubis, he gets to be that one guy or girl, you know, he's just like, everybody's gotten sick of fishing in World of Warcraft, even the people who say they like it. And then you hear, you know, I love fishing and I've never given up on it.
Yeah, always someone likes fishing. There's no way around it.
Oh, it's a Men in Tights reference.
Yeah,
it's been
well
a long
done.
Time since I've seen Robin Hood Men in Tights.
It's, let me tell you something, and I say this with all sincerity, all sincerity, John. That movie sucks. It's
why
really
you, why did you have to say Robin Hood? Why couldn't you just said it's been a long time since I've seen Men in Tights, and that way Scott could have used that.
Well, now I can because you just said it out of context, so I'm gonna cut yours out. That's pretty good.
No, good.
Yeah, you just said it's been a long time since I've seen Men in Tights.
I've been beat.
That's gonna get the, both those are going to get cut out too.
Yeah, totally.
Just keep digging that hole,
keep
though.
Digging.
Keep digging the hole.
But that movie's terrible, John. Terrible. Like, so, you think you remember it fondly. I'm telling you, go watch it. It's the worst thing Mel Brooks ever made. Straight up.
Oh, here. I'll generate some new emails for us. No, the worst movie he ever made was Spaceballs.
Oh, I don't know about this. Wow. Okay. All right, how do you...
you can hear people dropping things and rushing.
That movie is really, really bad. And
I don't like Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is okay. It's also not great. Actually, I might say that I don't think much of most Mel Brooks movies. Generally, there's a couple I think I'm cool with and I'm down with, but generally I don't think he's all that. It's just not for me. However, Men in Tights and then that vampire one. What's that called? Blood's
Dracula Dead and Loving It?
Yes, is so bad. That is a bad movie. If any of you like that movie, come at me, because we have a fight to have. It's so bad. So the only thing worse than Men in Tights is that. That's the only thing worse than Men in Tights.
The good news is not liking Spaceballs will probably earn me most of the ire. But you know, maybe there'll be some defenders. We can all agree that Young Frankenstein is the best, right?
That and Blazing Saddles are both pretty strong.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah, those are my exceptions, I think. I don't like History of the World Part 1. I didn't like that.
Only part of Men in Tights that I can remember is the joke where the blind guy is sitting on the toilet touching a Braille Playboy.
Yeah, I remember that. See, that I watched so much. I watched so much Monty Python and watched so many Monty Python movies over and over and over that they did all that kind of humor so much better than Mel Brooks did. So I think that's why I have this high and mighty kind of, oh, excuse me, I'll be watching Monty Python while you're trying to be that here in America kind of attitude about it, which may or may not be healthy. But yes, I also remember the scene with that. The only other thing I really remember about that movie that made me smile was a couple of lines from, oh, it's the comedian he used to do. Dave Chappelle is great in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's really funny. But that was before anyone knew who Dave Chappelle was.
He's in that?
Yeah, just barely super young. He's like 18. You got to see it. Or don't see it. It's terrible. It's a bad movie. But then at the end, when they have that scene that's in all the Robin Hood movies, like it was Sean Connery shows up as King Richard in the one with the big Hollywood one. That this was kind of making fun of, the one with Kevin Costner and all that.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes. So he shows up at the end. I'm King Richard and you've lost your car keys, right? So he's a thing. And then this one, they go for, at the time anyway, it was like budget Sean Connery, Patrick Stewart, who was still doing Star Trek. So I say that only because I don't think we quite appreciated fully Patrick Stewart yet. So at the time it felt like budget Sean Connery, but he shows up as King Richard.
Way better. He's who I would rather show up.
Completely agree. But that movie's bad and you all know it. All right.
You all know
it's really bad.
I mean, I don't remember it. I've never seen it, but I'm not gonna stick up for it. So
I feel like Robin Hood Prince of Thieves makes fun of itself pretty well, so maybe it didn't need a parody movie.
It just makes fun of Prince of Thieves, and that's fine. Like, that's what Spaceballs is. It makes fun of Star Wars. You know, that's what History of the World was. It made fun of whatever the thing was then. Like, it's always something like that, and that's fine. I mean, Young Frankenstein is making fun of the horror genre. Like, that's what he does. I just don't think he had it going on later. That's all. I don't know.
It could be. I see your point, though, about Monty Python, because they do intersect a bit with the way they tell jokes and present, you know, absurdist humor. And I can see landing more on one side than the other. I mean, it's sort of, we were talking about Quake earlier, and like every time someone brings up Quake and Deathmatch, I'm like, I played Unreal. Like, sometimes we just get into these weird tribalism things about stuff, and ultimately it's all fun.
I played a lot of Unreal, a lot of Quake, and I'm ready, I think, to play a little more. It's like a Zen game for me in a weird way. It's not supposed to be. It's frantic, firing guns left and right, jumping, freaking out, dodging. Like, it's frenetic and fast, but I get into a zone, and it feels good. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get into a zone after this and play some games. So if you'd like to send in your own emails, you can. Core at heroesforyou.com is our email address. We'd love to hear from you. And thanks
for... Not about Spaceballs.
No. Keep that. Well, you know what? Send those too. I want to see what you guys do.
Oh, no.
I promise not to... I won't read anything terrible. But if you guys have like legit argument for why Spaceballs is better than John Says, Bo and
remember
I take
remember when they combed the desert? Remember Pizza the Hut?
Yeah. Do you remember the big vacuum? Is that the
remember
the
when they made it seem like lightsabers were penises?
I do remember that. Do you remember that they called him, what was his name? Dark Helmet? Because he had a big helmet and it was dark.
I will say Rick Moranis' Dark Helmet is the redeeming factor to that movie.
Yeah. Wait, do you
wasn't in it, I would like none of it.
Do you
him
like,
being in it, I like part of it.
Do you like John Candy as Barf?
No.
Do you like the president from Independence Day as the Han Solo type guy?
No.
No?
Okay. I thought Bo quit for a minute. He's just like, they're just talking about these movies. I'm done. I'm out.
You know what happened on my end? I had an internet hiccup, and John that whole time was just saying, you remember when they call, they went all robot-y, and he took him like a full minute to say combed the desert. I was like, I had enough of this. It's not coming
back.
No,
that's actually how it happened.
Oh, yeah. No. He said that it was on purpose. No, I don't know what happened. That was really weird. But we're done. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you for being a part of today's weird show. We'll be back next week with more as we continue to play the best MOBA in the world. That is called Heroes of the Storm. That's going to do it for us. But what are you doing?
I'm just celebrating the show.
Okay. All right. Whatever it takes.
Entertain the troops.
We're in the ESO. No, ESO is Elder Scrolls Online. What is it? OSO. ASO. Carter, what's
the thing
called?
Army place?
Yeah, the army. The people that perform in the army.
The USO show?
USO. That's it. USO.
The truth is out there.
Elder Scrolls Online. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.